right? So I would walk out of mission control, open the door, walk about 30 or 40 feet, open the door to the hangar, and I'd go in there, and there would be all the media. And two times a day, we scheduled a news conference, a formal thing so they could run it and package it properly for the evening news and whatever. And we'd stand up there and tell them what happened and how we're doing on fuel and you know, tell them candidly what the problems were. And they'd always ask, well, how you doing? Are you going to make it without running out of gas, you know? And so we'd update them and so on. And it was kind of fun for me to do that because with all the other stuff that I had done, I actually enjoyed working in the press. I learned that from Wernher von Braun. You know, you can get up and tell them the truth and they believe you because of your position. Otherwise, the press makes up stories. What is that?
Lindbergh.
The term for that now.
We fake. Learned from Lindbergh how not to handle the press.
Well, the term is fake news.
Fake.
That's what it is. Okay, so I would go out. There was a specific time as the airplane had crossed at Costa Rica, yep, and we're now in the Pacific coming up the course. It originally was going to go over Texas, but the weather and winds forced us to go through Costa Rica and now fly the last day or so of the flight in the Pacific. There was a specific time when we had looking in front of us this big tank with a sight gauge to where we know how much fuel is there. There was a specific time when we had enough fuel in that sight gauge to run the engine or engines long enough to get to Edwards Air Force Base. And that was the first time that we knew for sure that we could make it. The other gauges were not gauged. It's really hard to, when you're in your tank, is that high, right? Like in a wing, and the wing has been up 30 or 40 feet, right? And it moves all around. You can't put a gauge in there easily and find out what time. So we didn't put any gauges in. We measured the fuel through a flow meter as we used it out of those and put it in a tank that the engines run from with a sight gauge, and we know. But at bottom line, we knew exactly once we get to so many gallons on that, the Voyager's going to have enough fuel to set this milestone. Okay, I'll never forget the time. You're counting down, that you're pumping that last bit of gas for fuel. Some of the 128 pounds or so had leaked out of the one wingtip, tiny little stain that we saw. The fuel caps on the Voyager were made of nylon. You know what they were? 1/8 NPT plugs. We had to fuel Voyager by taking a 1/4-inch line and squirt it in, because we didn't want the weight of a fuel cap and the drag of a fuel, right? Okay, but there was a tiny little leak early in the flight, and when we went to use that fuel, it wasn't there. But anyway, let me get to the reason for talking about this. All of a sudden, it's going to make it.
We had get home.
You know, you talk about how emotional we feel after 9 days of questioning. Some of that we thought we didn't have enough fuel, and that's the subject of another hour, so we'll save it for later. But I found out we're going to make it. We got fuel that we could see, and we got fuel to get home. And I ran out of the trailer, ran across the 40 feet. I opened the hangar door, and I burst into there. And all the media is gone. They were already packed up and gone to Edwards Air Force Base to cover the landing. It was late in the flight that we knew. Mike and I got in the Dutchess. We had, with Sally, had chased them out over the Pacific Ocean on the departure, on takeoff. And I realized after an hour and a half of flying over the Pacific that I'd never flown over an ocean before. And when we turned around, we couldn't see California. So, you know, we double checked that the compass was right and whatever. Yeah, like as if that was a stressful thing for us to do, right? It wasn't worth mentioning to him. We got into the Duchess, just Mike and I now, not Sally. And it was dark, real early in the morning. And we took off from Mojave and we headed just outside the restricted area and flew over Lancaster. We knew where they were. We knew that they were tracking to a VOR, Seal Beach. Okay, he's tracking to Seal Beach. We didn't want other people to know because there were several airplanes that joined up on them on the departure. Okay, there was actually two airliners where the pilots, when they came back, the pilots steered their airplanes over so the passengers could see Voyager. Isn't that cool? You know, coming back. Anyway, we're in darkness now. We're going to have to join up in darkness, and they don't have a red and green light because it got ground off the wing in California. Now, it wasn't illegal because at the moment that we crossed into U.S. airspace, it was just light enough so that we didn't have to have night lighting. So the Voyager had only a strobe light. And on the back, it had a white light that you couldn't see if you're in front of it. That only thing we could see was a strobe light. So what we did is he gave us a heading out of Seal Beach. And we picked up that heading, but we changed altitude to make sure we didn't hit him. I don't know if you know it, but it's real easy to inadvertently hit an airplane that you're trying to join up at night. You think you're gonna join up and everything's fine and then all of a sudden, woo, it goes by you. You know, we knew better than that. But anyway, we picked a different altitude. We had gone in that 9 days, and the crew had gone through all kinds of stages of emotion. There was a time in which the flight doctor and the people said to my parents, come in and talk to the crew. They need emotional support. Come in and talk to them. And there was some times when we were told, don't talk to them now. They're too irritable. Let them kind of cool down. You know, he didn't know that, but I don't know what doctors know, but you know, they were trying to make sure that we didn't, because of us, cause a problem. So we went through all this emotion of, are we going to make it? Yes, no. Now we're finally in the Duchess. As we flew over Lancaster, I saw this continuous red streak going east. And I actually said to Mike, what the hell is that? You know what it was? It was stop and go traffic of cars heading to Edwards Air Force Base. Because the base had allowed civilians, this was before 9/11, it allowed civilians to come to the base and watch the landing. So now we're talking to Dick and Gina, and I was really surprised at how they sounded on the radio like they just took off yesterday, you know? It's really cool. And we were off the coast real close to San Diego when we joined up on them, okay? And they're coming towards Edwards and we're going the opposite direction. And I looked out there and I saw this strobe. And I said to Mike, is that them? And we had a discussion that we don't know because it was so faint we could just barely see it strobing. We were quite a ways away from them, you know? So we didn't know. And so Mike keyed the mic and said, Dick, could you turn the strobe off and then turn it back on again? Okay? And we're looking at the strobe. Or was it me?
I think you called.
Okay, I called on the radio and said to Dick, turn the strobe off and then turn it back on after a few seconds.
Confirmation.
And we saw that tiny little strobe light with our loved ones in it. We hadn't seen them for 9 days, and part of that time we thought they wouldn't make it. Some of that time we knew they wouldn't make it. And that strobe light went off, And it came back on. And Mike looked at it, we looked at each other, and we were bawling. You know, to this day, I can't talk about that experience, but we just collapsed in tears. They're right there, is Dick and Gina. It was one of the most emotional times, probably the most emotional time that I can think of in my life. So we made sure that it passed before we turned around. We made sure we were off a different altitude. We pulled up on it. It's dark now, okay? We see the strobe, can't see the airplane, even though we're coming up on it. Now the sun is coming up just a little bit, so we have just a little bit of, before twilight. And you could see these wings. And it didn't look like Voyager at all, because the last time we saw a Voyager, it looked like this, the wings. And here it is, the wings nice and flat. And when we have another hour, we'll tell you why that both engines were running.